And welcome in to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you back on the radio program. Things, I hope, going well in your world?
Yes, they are. Things are good. Really good. Good to be back live in studio.
Fantastic.
With a special guest today. First announcements. The talk this week, Thursday night, with Dr. Tony Jimenez from Hope for Cancer in Cancun, Mexico, here in Lubbock at the Willows, is sold out, but it will be recorded. We've had a lot of people calling the clinic trying to get in still, but I'm sorry, they had limited seating. So it is sold out, but it'll be recorded, and that recording will be put out later, so y'all can watch that. Next, down at the Merck, we've got a lot of great local produce available. A Jefferson melon. Thomas Jefferson brought these heirloom seeds from France, and they've been preserved. And I had a Jefferson melon the other day, first one I ever had. It was delicious. So we'll get down to the Merck, get Elohim and the other farmers that are blessing us with their bountiful crop. Support these local guys. Last announcement, the COVID variant, whatever, has been just decimating everybody, apparently. Don't worry about the COVID. As we've said many times on this show, for more reasons than one, you don't need to worry about the COVID. But I've been talking to my colleagues across the country who are treating some of these patients in different regions. We're not seeing a lot of it here. It's a head cold. So despite what the pharmaceutical-based media is telling you, don't let spirit of fear overcome you. Submit to God, and God is the truth. So seek the truth in all you do. Seek the kingdom first. And turn off that television set and open the Word. That's what we're going to talk about today. We have Teresa Hudeling. I hope I'm saying that right, Teresa. I didn't even ask you how to spell your last name, but she is an author of the book, The Unhealed Believer, What to Do When You've Done It All. And I will tell you, unhealed is in quotation marks there, because Teresa is healed, praise God, today. And she's going to share her testimony. So this is a patient testimony day. Not my patient, though. But when I heard Teresa's story, I thought this could be a number of my patients. Lupus, Sjogren syndrome, degenerative disc disease, bulging disc, carpal tunnel, thyroid disease. And she grew up as a believer, saved when she was 5 years old. Her dad was a graduate at Rhema Bible College. I'll let her tell her testimony. I don't want to steal it all, but I'm setting the stage here for guys. We are going to talk about spiritual things today, because we're not just a flesh, a sack of cells all put together. We're not just our body. We are a spirit housed in the body with a soul. And understanding those three things is really, really, really important. I can't stress it enough. And Teresa, I know, is going to stress it today too. But Teresa's story is amazing. In particular, what caught my eye was she knew all the healing scriptures. She had the intellectual knowledge of so many things. She was a believer since she was five, you know, raised in the truth, sick, 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 and was seeking healing. And then she found the healer. So we're going to talk about that today. Teresa, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Ben. That was a great summation, leading up to a great testimony.
Well, we cannot wait to hear. And the dragon will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints. So we're so excited to have you here to give us your testimony. And really, I would say just take it from however far back you want to go. I just gave a real brief of your background, but kind of give people an idea of where you came from and how you got to where you are today and why you wrote the book.
Yeah, I grew up in the Word. My dad, like you said, was a Rhema graduate, so I grew up in the Word of Faith movement. I was 5 when I was born again. Praying in the Spirit when I'm 7. So I knew the Word. If you asked me for a scripture about finances, about healing, about freedom, about deliverance, if you asked me for a verse or a reference, I could give it to you. And I heard my dad preach the Word, And most importantly, I saw him demonstrate the word. My dad walked in the word. He saw healings when he prayed for people. There was a young man in who was in my grade that had a stroke when he was in a sophomore in high school, and they said he'd be an invalid for the rest of his life. And my dad spent days and days and days with that young man in the hospital and saw him completely restored to health. I'm just giving you a few examples of things that I've seen working through my dad growing up. A little boy was hit by a truck and my dad was there. The little boy was dead. My dad prayed for him. He was raised from the dead. So I knew that the word worked. I knew that it was true because I heard it and I saw it in operation. And yet when I left high school, despite all of that, I ran from God. I went and I sought my own happiness. I sought happiness in the world because I had prayed for myself. I had really, really bad cystic acne growing up, and I had prayed for myself, and I never saw anything happen. People had prayed for me. I never saw anything happen for me. So when I left high school, I pretty much ran in the opposite direction and just decided that this didn't work for me. Even though I knew the truth, I had a conviction of the truth, but I just didn't think that it worked for me. So for 15 years, I ran from him. And, you know, I think one of the questions people ask is, why is it that so many preachers' kids go off the deep end when they leave home? And how could I go into rebellion with the word base, with the knowledge that I had, and it's quite simple. And I know I have stolen this quote from somebody, but I can't find the original source of it, so I'm just going to say it. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And that's exactly what happened. Is I knew the rules. I knew the word. I did the word. I prayed. I read my Bible. I went to church. I was nice to people when I didn't want to be, because I knew these were things that I, as a Christian, should be doing. But there was no relationship with the Savior at all. I mean, you could say I was a Pharisee, is really what I was. I was the one who knew the word and did the word without the relationship. So over the course of those 15 years of rebellion, the first things I was diagnosed with was Sjogren's syndrome and hypothyroidism. And my thyroid just quit. You know, one minute I'm running a marathon, I'm training for a marathon, I'm up to like 13, 14 miles, and the next morning I can't get out of bed because my thyroid had just shut down. My hair's falling out. I'm getting a terrible rash when I go out in the sun. You know, these are all symptoms of the lupus or the Sjogren's and the hypothyroidism. So I went to the doctor and, you know, he diagnosed me and put me on medication and said, I'm going to be on those meds for the rest of my life. And he proposed that the Sjogren's syndrome, the autoimmune disorder, is what caused the thyroid to quit. So he said, now we'll just have to wait and see what your body attacks next, what organ this Sjogren's syndrome is going to devour next in your body or destroy next in your body. So a lot of fear in those three little words, wait and see, because I didn't feel like I had any control over what was going on in my body. There was no way for me to stop it. There was no way for me to fix it. So I went on all of the medications. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I know that healing is real, but I just don't think that it's working. It works for me. So, and it wasn't, because I would pray and, you know, nothing would happen. So I went on the medication and, you know, we got that regulated. And for years I was pretty much symptom free, or the symptoms were, you know, regulated with medication. And then in 2007, this is at the end of my 15 years of completely running from God. I was at the bottom of a pit that was just so dark that there was no hope of getting out of it. And I was pretty much an alcoholic at that point. I had just found out that my second husband was cheating on me with a man. So there, I was, I, you couldn't get much lower, Dr. Ben, than I was at that point. And I remember just crying one night after I had found out that he was cheating. And I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I told her, I said, Mom, I just feel so empty inside. And in that moment, I heard that what the Bible describes as the still, small voice of the one that I had been running from. And he said, even though you have run from me, I have never left you. And in that moment, I realized what I was missing. And I was missing relationship. And I realized that no matter what I had done, no matter what I had said, no matter the sins I had committed, the adultery, the sleeping around, all of that stuff that I had done in that last 15 years, he didn't care. He just wanted my heart. And that all of those times that I was hurt, or all of those times where I just felt broken and crying, he was catching my tears. He was picking me up, and he wanted to pick me up and dust me off. He wanted to embrace me in a hug that would just give me the comfort and the peace that I needed. And for those 15 years, I just denied it. I ran from it. But in that moment of being at the end of myself, I'm sick, my body is destroying itself, my relationships are a mess, my emotions are a mess, I'm depressed, I'm oppressed, I'm all of the press that you can define. And in that moment, when I heard his voice, I made the decision that I was just going to give everything to him. Because if this God that loved me so much that he didn't care what I did, even to spite him, then you know what? That he deserves my everything. That he sent his son to die for me, to provide healing, to provide provision, to provide freedom from bondage, all of these things. And who am I to run from him one more day? So in that day, in December of 2007, I completely turned my life towards him again. And then all of those things that I did in the past that were performance-based, you know, as a kid, as a teenager, reading, praying, going to church, all of these things that I had done as just because I knew I had to, I was performing. Now I was doing it because I wanted to know this God who loved me so much, who gave so much for me. So in 2007, and jump in any time here.
No, keep going. Keep going. You're doing great.
So in 2007, then after I turned and I turned towards him, my second marriage ended, obviously, after that adultery. And I just focused on God. I just focused on Jesus, and we spent the next year just together, just me and him, just healing those heart wounds of the past, from all the times that I was made fun of as a kid to, you know, the times I was used in college by friends or guys or whatever it may be. I just spent a year with my eyes focused on him and letting him pull up all of that garbage that we like to just, you know, bury. And there were some things I had to take a jackhammer to because I had buried them so far and covered them with concrete. You know, I had to get in there and just let him bring all of that junk, all of that garbage out of my heart, all of that bitterness and all of that resentment and unforgiveness. And I had to let him have it. And there's a scripture in Psalm 56:8 that says that he catches all of my tears in a bottle. And that's really what I saw is when I would, when that memory, that emotion would come back and it would cause those tears to come, I just imagined them falling into his hand, and that the source of that hurt and the source of that pain was now in his hand. So there was no need for me to carry it any longer. And I truly believe that there's a lot of people that are dealing with autoimmune issues, that are dealing with digestive issues and things like this. And it's because they're carrying this bitterness, this resentment, this anger and hatred towards somebody that I can tell you, as one who is now friends with her ex-husband who cheated on her with a man, that you can get past that and you can let it go. And I think one of the things that helped me the most was to think about how much I have been forgiven, how much God has forgiven me of, and that really helped me to forgive, even from, you know, today forward. That's what I think about. If somebody wrongs me or says something terrible about me on social media or calls me a liar or whatever it is, you know, that really helps me to let go of that bitterness and that anger, and because it really does cause physical issues. So
yeah. So
I spent that year with him and got that inner healing that I needed. And 2009, I met my current husband, Patrick, my current and last husband, Patrick. It was totally a God thing. I didn't want to ever get married again. And I was just so content with my relationship with God. And then Patrick. So 2009, we got married. We are both now heading hard towards Father and what he wants us to do. And so come my surprise, I wake up one morning in 2011 and I have what the medical field calls a butterfly rash, which is just a rash over the top of my nose and onto the top of my cheek area. And my right ankle was just so swollen that I couldn't walk on it. And when I saw that butterfly rash, I knew exactly what it was. I didn't even really need to go to the doctor for a diagnosis, but I did. And it came back that it was lupus. And I knew what it was because my oldest sister, Jacqueline, who actually passed in a car accident in 2003, she had been diagnosed with lupus at a very young age. And it had destroyed her kidneys. She had two kidney transplants. It affected her heart. So she had a defibrillator in. She was on medications to stay awake during the day. She was on medications to go to sleep at night. She was depressed. I saw what this disease could do to the body. So again, there is that little bit of fear that comes in. But because I had established a relationship with him, my response wasn't so much fear as it was surprise. It's like, why? I asked God this. I'm laying there on the table. I'd just gotten the diagnosis. And I asked God, I'm like, why now? You know, I could understand if it was in the middle of my rebellion when I'm drinking and smoking weed and when I'm doing all of these things, I could understand. But I've been following you now. My heart has been after you now for 4 years, so why now? And I think a lot of people have that question, especially those that know the word, believe the word, and they just keep getting sicker. And the response I got was sin. And it's not that he was saying, and I need to be very clear here, he wasn't saying that because you sinned, I place sickness on you. What he's saying is, that sin of Adam that came from the very beginning of time that allowed death and sin and sickness into the world, that's why it was still allowed in me. That's why it was, it became a part of me. Although part of it was, I was walking in sin for 15 years, and that opens a door for sickness and disease to come in. So for years, I held on to that lupus, and in that same year is when I was diagnosed with the degenerative disc disease and the bulge disc and the carpal tunnel, all in that same year in 2011. So, I lost my train of thought.
You were saying,
so I'm
go ahead.
Yeah. I'm diagnosed with all of these things, and I held on to them for a long time because I interpreted God's word as sin to mean that I had caused it, so now I have to hold on to it. I have to, you know, it's like a make your bed and lay in it type thing. But that's not what he was saying at all. But because of my ignorance, because of my lack of understanding, I thought that's what he meant for several years. So fast forward now to 2013. Again, most of my symptoms are regulated with medication. I'm still following God. I'm to the point where, well, this isn't working for me, but it's not going to stop me from following you. It's not going to stop me from learning more about you. So in 2013, this is where the story starts to turn. I went to Charis Bible College in Woodland Park in 2013, and within that first month, I learned about Revelation, and not Revelation, the book of the Bible, but revelation, meaning a revealing of something to you or an understanding. And the way I'll describe it is it's like a harness that's securely around you that gives you confidence and faith in whatever you face, no matter what your circumstance is, that you can stand with confidence knowing that this word is true. Knowing that it doesn't matter what anybody says or what anybody else's experience is, you can't be moved from what you know about the Word. So I learned about Revelation, and it gave me hope, Dr. Ben, because I knew that that's what I was missing. I knew that that's why the head knowledge that I had about the Word, I knew that that's why it wasn't a reality in my life. That's why I wasn't walking in health. That's why I wasn't walking in prosperity. I was walking in freedom because of the relationship that I had with God. But those other things I was hitting a wall with them every time. So I had pretty much just given up on healing for myself. But that revelation, learning about revelation, learning that revelation is for everyone, that gave me hope. Because I knew that's what I was missing. I knew that's why the Word wasn't alive in me, why the Word wasn't doing what it said it should do, because it wasn't mine. It wasn't real to me. It was just prior to that, reading the Word would have been like reading a history book or reading a medical book or, you know, learning facts. Okay, well, it says to do this, so I need to do this in order to get this. You know, the medical society, medicine says do A, B, C, and D, and then, you know, the result will be your healing. I was reading the Word like that, like it was just an instruction manual. But the Word is not an instruction manual. The Word reveals Jesus. Everything in the Word, from the first verse in Genesis to the last word in Revelation, is about Jesus. And Jesus even said this to the Jews in John 5, verses 39 and 40. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And isn't that true? Don't we read the Word? Because in the Word is eternal life. Yeah. But we're reading it. That word scripture that Jesus used is the word graphe. And it's where we get our word graph. And a graph just holds information. It holds facts. It holds black and white, you know, no gray in between, just facts. And Jesus was saying to the Jews, you're reading the Word just like it's any other book. But then he goes on to say, but these scriptures speak of me, and you won't come to me for eternal life. So Jesus is saying, when you read the Word, look for me in there. When we read the Word, we're looking for a person. We're not looking for an instruction, like you said. We're not looking for the healing. We're looking for the healer. Because when we find the healer, then healing just naturally comes. It's so effortless. And after we can talk a little bit more about that, but after 6 months of seeking revelation, and I'm going to give you four really quick practical bullet points for how to receive revelation. The first thing is to remove distractions. So in other words, if you want to focus on healing or prosperity or whatever you want a revelation on, that's what you're going to focus on. You're going to focus on that one thing and not just get distracted by anything else shiny. I was always very distracted by things. Oh, this is a neat topic. Let me go over here. But you have to stay focused, remove the distractions. The second thing is to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says that whoever lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. And God says he'll give it to you in abundance, and he won't make fun of you for asking. There is no question that is too silly to ask God, and he has an answer for everything. The third thing is to pray in the Spirit. If you have a prayer language, you're going to pray in the Spirit with what you're seeking revelation on in mind. So scriptures that he's been showing you, or things that someone has said that have really stood out to you, you're going to keep those in mind as you're praying in the Spirit. And then keeping the Word in the forefront of your mind. So anytime a negative thought comes or a contrary thought to the Word comes, you're going to keep your mind focused on what God says about it. You're going to recognize that what you're hearing is a lie. Oh, you're never going to get it. That's a lie, because the Word has already promised it to you. So our job is to keep our mind focused on God's promise. So after 6 months of pursuing revelation, which started out pursuing healing, but really ended up pursuing Jesus, at the end of around that six-month period, I had a vision of Jesus and the whole thing that he went through, standing before his accusers, carrying the cross on his back, being nailed to the cross, the cross dropping into the ground, and the whole time he's looking at me. And I had this, oh man, I can't even describe that. I watched him die on the cross. I went down to hell with him. I went to the right hand of the Father with him. And as he was turning to sit, that's a very abbreviated version of that vision. As he was turning around to sit at the right hand of the Father, he turned and he looked at me, and he handed me the keys of hell and death. Wow. Saying, Teresa, you have authority. You have authority given to you by me. You have authority over sickness. You have authority over disease. And it was 2 days after that vision that I had had, that I was at healing school every Thursday, and they live stream it every Thursday at Caris Bible College afternoon. They do a healing school. And I was at healing school, and I was up front, and we were doing praise and worship, and there were a few words from the stage about the authority in the name of Jesus. And I just remember saying so calmly, lupus, you get out of my body. Sjogren's, you get out of my body. Back, you be healed. Carpal tunnel, you be healed. And I just knew that it was done. I knew that in that moment, I received the healing that Jesus purchased for me and for every believer on the cross. And I went back to my seat that day, and I heard Father say to me, you are healed from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, and you will walk in divine health. And that is the truth today, 9 years later, going on 10 years, it is still the truth today. I am healed. I am whole. I am walking in divine health. And it's because of the Word of God. I didn't have anybody pray for me. I didn't. It was just the Word. It was just that relationship with Jesus. It was just making His Word, taking the time to make His Word come alive on the inside of me. And it starts with relationship, because I'm living proof that it doesn't matter how much word you know. If you don't have relationship with God, it means it's just knowledge. Yeah. It's just another thing that you have memorized, or just another, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
totally.
It goes back to relationship, Dr. Ben.
Amen. Well said. That is an amazing story, Teresa. Oh, what a testimony.
And it can be true for everyone.
Yes. That's,
you know, he's no respecter of persons.
That's it. I was about to say that very thing. He's no respecter of persons. Everybody out there listening, you can have this too. And we've got a commercial break. Teresa, I didn't warn you beforehand. We do a break at the bottom of the hour. So it's perfect timing. When we come back, we're going to talk about how can you have that if you're out there with Sjogren's or anything? Talk more about authority. Talk about these distractions. That's huge, huge mm-hmm. distractions. Modern day idols. I didn't think I was worshiping anything but God, but turns out I was, because it's what was I putting my hope and faith and trust in? Well, lots of things of this world. But we'll talk about some of these things when we get back with Teresa. Teresa, what's the best way to follow you? The book, The Unhealed Believer, but where can people find it? You have a ministry, a website. What's the best way for people to learn more about you?
Yes, we have a ministry. It's called Fully Known Ministries. You can go to the website at fullyknownministries.com, and you'll find actually both books there now. I have The Unhealed Believer, and I have a daily devotional that's focused on healing called Set Your Sights. So we also have a Facebook page, so you can find out about us there.
Awesome. Okay, everybody, y'all stick with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Remember, this show will be archived at veritasmedical.com on the podcast archive page. It'll also be on iTunes under You're the Cure. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com. And here he is, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD.
All right, everybody, we're back with Teresa Hodeling. Teresa, am I saying that right?
It's Hodeling.
Hodeling. All right. The yep. Unhealed Believer is the name of the book. Yep. I highly recommend it. We'll carry it at the Merck pretty soon. We'll get some of that in, or some of these books in. I wanted to read a few quotes. Teresa mentioned some bullet points, and we'll review those again too, but also want to jump into some barriers to healing, because we've had a number of folks on the show, both testimonies of patients who have been healed, and they speak about a lot of these things, about having authority and having a relationship. Of course, we've had Andrew Womack on the show, Jim Banker. But there's some barriers still, and there's a lot to consider there. I want to read a few quotes from the book. There are many reasons why people don't receive their healing, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one of those reasons is not because God is withholding it. I had a decision to make and a mindset to change. I was either going to believe every bit of his word and stand on it, no matter what my body was telling me and how long it took, or I was going to believe none of it. It was time to draw a line in the sand. There was no turning back, wavering, or double-mindedness. It was all or nothing. In the mindset of that sickness, I purposed in my heart that the devil would be very sorry for attacking me in this way. I obviously had more to learn about his word and who I am in Christ. I want to repeat that. I obviously had more to learn about his word. That's huge. It's not the word that's off, or that God's not healing you, or that he's withholding. I obviously had more to learn about his word, who I am in Christ, or he being the devil, wouldn't have been able to invade my body like he had. That ignorance had allowed him an inroad into and a foothold onto my body. I was determined to make him pay for it. In another quote, when you know, you speak, and you speak with authority, because authority flows from revelation. I was experiencing the authority that flows from revelation for the first time in my life. The word had authority, but I didn't. That was a different quote, different chapter there. So lots of good quotes there, Teresa. I just want to throw out there, number one, guys, for the listeners, I'm not condemning you. Condemnation, that's from the devil. Guilt, shame, but also submitting to a spirit of intellectualism and scientism. That's a religion, scientism. The spirit of religion, having a lot of head knowledge, having doctrines of man. And I'll just say this, the gospel of salvation, which is a gospel that was taught to me all growing up, instead of the gospel of the kingdom. And maybe we'll have time to get into that. But there's a lot that, and Teresa said it right there in the book in those quotes, that, she decided that she was ignorant of some things. The word says this. I'm not experiencing it. I'm not seeing it. Obviously, there's something I don't understand. I don't know the word, or I don't have the revelation on it. I don't have the aha moment. I don't know it in my heart. I know it in my head, but there's some barriers, some blockages, and just distractions. We could camp out right there, Teresa, just on distractions. And I'm talking about just the day-to-day. I got to get up. My alarm's going off. Got to get the kids to school. Got to pack my lunch because I want to try to eat healthy so I can't eat out. Got to pack my lunch. Got to get to work on time. The traffic's bad. Oh, there's a car wreck on my exit ramp. Missed my exit ramp. Got to get there, get all my work done for the day because I got to have a paycheck because I got to meet all my needs myself. I got to pay my taxes. I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to buy, you know, piano lessons and soccer lessons and all the equipment for the T-ball tournament and, you know, just on and on and on, just distractions. And that's not even picking up your phone and getting on Facebook and Instagram and doing your news. And even if it's all good stuff, it could all be good stuff. I tell people all the time down in Garza County Health Clinic, I was a doctor for the nursing home, the county jail, the juvenile detention center, the shut-ins, making house calls, Friday night football game team doctor, plus the clinic. All those are good things. Those are even ministries. I could talk about Jesus in all those settings and minister to people and love on people. So it's not even about doing bad things necessarily. But there's just so much distraction. Doctrines of man, unbelief. That Greek word is epistos. We could spend an hour talking about that. That definition, unable to believe or trust what God has promised, a distrust, an uncertainty, an unbelief with respect to doctrines, the doctrines of Christ. An inability to believe that. I mean, so much, so much. Jesus in his own hometown couldn't heal, not because it was anything to do with him. The people weren't looking at him for healing. And in modern day, I would say churchgoers look at Jesus as the ticket to heaven. They don't look to him as bringing heaven back into us, a new creature, new creation, Christ in us. And that goes to the authority. We're walking around with authority. No one taught me any of that. So I don't know if any of that points you in a direction, Teresa, but an encouragement to the listener, there's lots of reasons for barriers, and Teresa goes through some in her book, and we'll probably have to talk about a lot of this in future shows, but just wanted to put that out there for those who are believing out there and have been in the Word. Keep pressing in for your personal aha moment, I call them. I think you actually use that word too, Teresa, didn't you, in your book, an aha moment?
Yeah, I did in there.
So I'm sure you interact with lots of folks. I mean, the book's been out for a little while now. You've got the second book. You've got your ministry. I'm sure you have lots of folks reaching out to you all the time. What do you see as some of the top, not just distraction, but top barriers that keep people from the personal aha moment? Obviously, lack of relationship, I would say, number one. But I'm going to give you the floor to kind of just give us some insights on things that are barriers.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think one of the biggest things is just priorities. You know, we say, well, we don't have time to get in the Word. We don't have time to spend in prayer. We don't have time for this. But, you know, if your water heater broke, you would stop whatever you were doing and take the time to get that thing fixed.
Yep.
You know, we all have time. And again, like you said, no condemnation is meant in this at all. I'd like to open people's eyes so that they can see why it's not working in their life. And a lot of times it is priorities. They say, I just don't have time. Well, what is more important to you? Is your health more important, or is social media more important? Because I know that is such a huge distraction. And I even have to be careful with that. You know, we have the Facebook ministry page, and I'll go on there, and I can find myself getting hooked into a reel, and 20 minutes later, I've watched 20 minutes worth of reels, and it's like, what just happened here? Yeah. You know, so we all struggle with priorities. We all struggle with distractions. But you said it at the beginning. We have to turn off the TV and look at the Word. We have to purpose to take time in the Word. And again, the focus has to be relationship. When we say looking in the Word, it's not just looking for what you have to do. It's looking for the one who has forgiven you, for the one who has saved you in the Word. And I keep going back to that. And you said something that a lot of people just think Jesus is their ticket to heaven. And that is absolute truth. When we believe on Jesus, we are guaranteed that we will spend eternity in heaven with God the Father. But Jesus says Jesus defined eternal life for us, because we think of eternal life as just after we die, we're going to heaven and we'll be there forever. Or for those who don't accept Jesus, after they die, they'll go to hell and they'll spend eternity in hell. So we're all going to live into eternity after we die, after our physical bodies die. But Jesus defined eternal life as this in John 17:3. He says, "This is eternal life, that you know God the Father and the Son who he sent." That's eternal life. That's now. That's in the here. That's in the now. So we can have relationship with God here and now. And I know we've talked about that. So let me also show you Ephesians 1:3 says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that might be really confusing, but if you put it in simple terms, it just means that Jesus brought every spiritual blessing from heaven to earth. That's what Jesus did. So every blessing that is in heaven, every good thing that is in heaven, Jesus brought to earth. So that means acceptance. That means redemption. You're forgiven of your sins. It means grace, and grace covers every aspect of your life. It means prosperity. Anything that's good in heaven, Jesus brought to you here on earth so that you could live a victorious life here on earth. All of those things are in Christ. And because if you are a born-again believer, if you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Christ is in you. And this is where your hope is. Christ is in you, which means all of those spiritual blessings are in you. And this might be a good time, Dr. Ben, to talk about spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't understand that they're more than what they see in the mirror. Mm-hmm. That their body is just, it's like an earth suit. This is what, just like you have a space suit, you have to wear a space suit to get around out in space. Our earth suit is how we get around here on the earth, but that's not the real us. Our body is not the real us. The word says that the body without the spirit is dead, because it is the spirit that gives life. So you have every person has a spirit on the inside of them. And when they die, and that spirit leaves the body, then the body dies. The spirit is who we really are. And this is where all of those blessings are contained. And it's through a renewing of your mind to what God's word says. It's that revelation that we talked about. It's that relationship that we talked about. It's through that process that your physical body gets transformed, that your physical body gets healed, that your finances begin to heal, that your relationships begin to heal. It all has to do with that. I started talking, this is for us here on earth now. It's not just in the sweet by and by someday. We don't have to just get by. We don't just have to plod along every day. We are victorious right now because Christ lives in us. And he has given us that authority to use his name. Jesus defeated it all on the cross. Sickness, poverty, depression, everything. Jesus defeated it on the cross. He yep. was given all authority over these things. And then he says, now I give you authority. As a believer, we have authority to use his name. It's not us that has the power. We can't defeat sickness. I couldn't kick the lupus out of my body. I couldn't kick the Sjogren syndrome out of my body. I couldn't fix my back that the doctor said can only be fixed by surgery. This comes from him who lives within us. It's the authority that he gives, and when we speak, he backs it with his power. But too often, I think one of the hindrances, we think if we speak to the sickness with enough authority in our voice, or we yell at it long enough, or we you know, that we are the ones who are doing it. And really, it's not the case at all. Our belief is in God and in His power and in the authority in the name of Jesus. And then when that focus is right, when that understanding is correct, then things start to work naturally in you. You'll just find yourself speaking to that pain in your side or your that pain in your foot or whatever. It will just come out of you because it will be, oh, this sounds kind of spiritual, but it'll be that spirit speaking on the inside of you through your voice.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
It does. It really does. But if I will say years ago, it would not have made sense to me. And I think for a lot of my patients, possibly it may not quite resonate. And I'm just going to encourage you. And the reason we even go on this whole subject matter, folks, I'm talking to the patients out there or the people thinking they need to come be a patient. Again, not condemning. But when I talk about these things with every new patient that comes in, and most, I'd say 99% are believers in Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they don't know about spirit, soul, body when I start pressing on that. Neither did I a few years back. Healing in the atonement, they don't know that. And for anyone, if you don't understand that, Bodily Healing and the Atonement is a book by T.J. Macross, and it's from the 1950s, I think. But it's a great study. It's a study on the Word. And goes through these verses like Psalms 103:2 heals all your diseases, Isaiah 53:4, and with his wounds we are healed, Matthew 8:14, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases, 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been healed, Proverbs 4:23, healing to all your flesh, the word is healing to all your flesh. There's a lot of stuff there, and like Teresa said, she knew all these verses beforehand. But if you're wrestling with those in your mind, because the devil's going to throw up some quote-unquote evidence right in your face. Oh, yeah, you're healed. Yep. Well, then what about the cystic acne? What about your hurt back? What about your Sjogren's? What about your butterfly rash? All this quote-unquote evidence of the... But that's the carnal mind. That's what you can touch and see and taste and smell with your five senses. And we're to have a spiritual mind. So the body may be telling you one thing, but as Teresa just said, the body's just the body. It's just... That's where you're located. You're a spirit. And understanding that you're a spirit, and when you're born again, that's the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of you. Housed and separating that thing out. Yeah, this lump, this bump they call cancer, or whatever it is, whatever physical ailment it is, delineating those two things out and then pursuing the truth. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I see a lot of people trying to resist the devil, but they forget the submit to God part. And to me, that means submit to the truth, and the truth is the Word. But the Holy Spirit's got to guide you into, it's a combination, read the Word and have the relationship. Otherwise, we read the Word with our mind, with our intellect, with religious goggles or whatever goggles and filters we have on, and letting the Holy Spirit come and bring that revelation, that personal aha moment. So there's a ton to camp out on here, and unfortunately, in my own life and many others, we weren't taught these deeper things. We weren't taught the gospel of the kingdom, and some were, but still the lack of relationship. Like you said, Teresa, 5 years old, saved, and praying in the spirit at 7, and watching your dad do all these things, but amazing, but lack of relationship. So I'd say probably that's number one barrier, because if you have the relationship, then the Holy Spirit will bring you into all the truth. And come, let us reason together. We can still reason, use our intellect, gain knowledge. We need to know the knowledge of spirit, soul, and body. And Andrew Womack has a great book on spirit, soul, and body. We can have that knowledge, but reason together, get that knowledge and combine it with Holy Spirit leading you into all truth. How does it personally apply to your life? What's holding your heart back? Where's the blockage personally in you? It's going to be different for everybody, but the Holy Spirit will show you that. And that aha moment will come. I'm quite sure of it. It comes for me. It came for Teresa. It continues to come for us and others too. So anyways, I'm going to quit talking, Teresa, because we only have a few minutes left.
That spirit, soul, and body, Dr. Ben, was huge for me, getting an understanding. It's really what helped me separate myself from the diagnosis that I had been given from the symptoms in my body. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a vase in a flower. If you think about a vase is inanimate. It doesn't have any life in it whatsoever. The life is in the flower on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it is with your body and with your spirit. Like, your body is just the vase. So it can be cracked. It can be, you know, paint can be chipping off. It can be old. It can be whatever. But the life is still within, and the life within is so perfect. So I would encourage people to really look into that. And in my book too, I explain it really basically, and I think it would really help people.
Yep. I agree 100%. Like I said, I love the book. We're going to carry it in our store here in Lubbock, but obviously you can go online and get it too. And guys, just want to encourage you, maybe a future show, dive deeper into spirit, soul, and body. But mm-hmm. I'm with Teresa. That's probably the biggest piece of knowledge that kind of led me deeper into my understanding, where the enemy didn't have such easy access to just keep me in bondage in my thinking. It's all about our thinking, because the enemy is totally defeated. He is a destroyed, defeated prince of this world, is defeated by Jesus. All authority, like Teresa said earlier, is given to Jesus. So, but that kingdom of darkness is still in operation right now, illegally, I may add, and someday won't be. Someday soon, I think, too. But it's still in operation right now, but it's only able to operate through the frontal lobe of a man or woman, a human being, through our thinking. And that's in our soul. And we don't have time to get into all that right now because it's the end of this show. But I will say, guys, the thinking is where it's at. If that's the only way the enemy has power, is in a human being's soul, through his mind, through his thinking. And just like David took the giant down with the rock right between his eyes, and then he went and got the sword and cut off the giant's head, we need to take a rock right to our, not literally, but our front our frontal lobe, our thinking is where it's at. So your giants in your life, it's the thinking. I guarantee you it's going to be your thinking. And so you knock that thing, and you take the sword, which is the word, the truth, and you cut its head off. Don't cut your own head off. But I'm just saying, that analogy to me just speaks so much. Because we've got to go after that frontal lobe thinking, and we've got to bring the truth to it. Submit to the truth. Line up with that righteousness. The kingdom's not about food and drink. Righteousness, peace, and joy. If peace and joy are not attending you, then you're not rightly aligned with truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to rightly align you. Seek the kingdom first. Then all these things will be given unto you. And that right alignment with truth is the submission to God, the truth. And then resist the devil, because he's just a little gnat, and you can flick him off at that point. You don't have to battle all day long. It's done. The battle's done. It's in our thinking. So we'll talk about that more in a future show. Teresa, it's been awesome having you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Ben. I enjoyed it.
Well, we really enjoyed it. Appreciate all your efforts to get your testimony out there in the book, The Unhealed Believer, What to Do When You've Done It All. I encourage you all to go look that up. And Teresa, one more time, the website, social media, all the ways to follow you.
FullyKnownMinistries.com is our website. You can follow us on YouTube at Fully Known Ministries and on Facebook at Fully Known Ministries as well.
All right, guys, go check that out. Get the book, and then come back next week. Well, not next week. We're off for Labor Day, I think. But then the following week, we'll have another great show. This show will be up later, probably today or tomorrow maybe. On our website, veritasmedical.com, under the resource tab, go down to the podcast page and it'll be there. Share it with your friends. We'll have it on iTunes also under You're the Cure. All right, Wade, thanks for another opportunity to speak some truth and light out to the masses.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.